Appreciate that, y'all. Old Terry's sounding good on that bass over there, ain't he? Him walking up and down them frets. I appreciate that, brother. Amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of James. Book of James, chapter number 4. And we'll study a little something here this evening that they don't know at college and they don't know at the universities because they refuse to believe the Bible. And don't let me forget that baby here in a minute, Jeb. You got it in your shirt pocket? He wants to dedicate that baby here in a little bit. Huh?
I got it right here.
How much does
it weigh? It weighs
6 pounds a day. Amen. Anyway, let's don't let me forget that. We're going to dedicate that baby since church. I was just born Monday, I think. But anyway, we're going to talk about something tonight that the world don't know. And that is the meaning of life. The meaning of life. And what is the real meaning of life and what the Bible says about it. So let's look at James chapter number 4 and look at verse number 14. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Look here at verse James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? What is your life? What does the Bible say? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know what the Bible said your life is? Your life is like a mist or fog. You see it and it just goes into nothing, just disappears. You hear them on the news, they'll say we'll have morning fog. And that means as soon as the sun comes up, it's gone. And that's the way our lives are. Boy, if we could get that through our head, it'd really, 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 really make a difference. It'd really make a difference. You know, everybody you see nowadays, they're living for this world, this little bitty spot we call time, and forgetting about eternity. And that's the way most people live. Most people live their life for time and forget about eternity, when we really ought to live our life for eternity and not worry about time. So tonight, we're going to study about life a little bit. And many, many years ago, they said that a famous wise guru of India visited the United States. And he wanted to see Albert Einstein. He had heard about Albert Einstein, smartest man in the world, and he went to see him. And he asked his several questions. And then his final question to ask Albert Einstein was, have you found the meaning of life? Have you found the meaning of life? And Einstein said, no, I have not found the meaning of life. I have not found the meaning of life. And the wisest people that have been on this earth still don't even know why we're here or what the purpose of life is. I mean, you ask them. And you know what they teach in the universities? They teach that we are an accident that just happened to show up here, and there's no meaning at all, really, to life. And life is just get what you can out of it because you're going to be dead, and that's it. And that's what they believe. That's what the world believes. And that's why they live like they do. You know, if you believe like that, if I believe like that, I'd live like that too. If I believe that this was all there was to it, well, just get all you can get and take everything you can get from everybody and be selfish and stingy and live for yourself and then die. And if you start getting sick, shoot yourself. If you get cancer or something that you can't get better, just kill yourself if there's nobody. But I'll guarantee you there's more to meaning than life than that. So we're going to study about that a little bit. They said there was a student in college asked, why was I born? Why am I here? And what is the meaning of life? Now, let's think just a minute about what is life. What is life? The dictionary definition of life is the union of body and soul. The union of body and soul. When the body and soul's together, that's life. When the soul leaves, the body dies, the soul leaves. And you don't have one without the other. They said that life is the state of being alive. They say that life is the period between birth and death. Life is the property of plant or animal that involves growth, nutrition, respiration, and reproduction. It's very difficult to define life. It's a trust. It's a loan from God. If somebody asks you right now, take a piece of paper and write down what is life, what would you say? It's the state of being alive. It's when your body and soul are together. You can think, you can see, you can reason, and you can move. It's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. Life is. Like my body right now, you could kill me, and my body, hands, and everything would look exactly like they are now, but I have no life in them. Life is a precious gift. Life is a precious gift that God's put in us. And it's only for a short time. And so, let's look at this for a minute. We ought to be thankful for our life. The most selfish thing a person can do is commit suicide. I've had lots and lots of people call me and say they were going to kill themselves. Or say, I'm just going to kill myself. Now, usually, I don't advise you to do this, but usually, I just call their bluff. If somebody says, I'm going to kill myself, say, okay, I'm going to miss you. Because what they're doing, they're wanting somebody to feel sorry for them. I wouldn't advise you to say that to everybody, because if they do, then you'll feel really, really bad. I had a guy one time, every time I seen him, he's going to kill himself. And I said, you don't borrow my gun? I mean, quit your crying, buddy. I mean, I got problems too. But I wouldn't advise you to say that to everybody. Because, you sort of have to judge or they just want attention. Because some people really do mean it. Everybody who tells me I'm going to kill myself, I tell them this. I say, there's millions of people in this world that would love to have your life. And that is the most selfish thing that you can do, is take your own life. That's the most self. You are thinking about nobody but yourself. And they look at it a little bit different when you tell them that. When you tell them, your mama needs you, your kids need you, your husband needs you, your wife needs you. You're needed in this world. God gave you a life. How dare you think about taking it before your time is up? And so I tell them, I say, that's the most selfish thing a person can do, kill herself. You're selfish if you want to do that. So I tell them that. Somebody said, I'm angry at my alarm clock, but Lord, thank you that I can hear. I close my eyes against the light, but I say, thank you, Lord, that I can see. I don't want to get up in the morning, but I thank you, Lord, that I got enough strength to. I fuss with my brothers and sisters, but I thank you, Lord, that I got a family. My breakfast ain't the best, but I thank you, Lord, that I've got something to eat. Though my job is monotonous, thank you, Lord, that I've got a job and I can work. Though I grumble and complain, Lord, I want to thank you for the gift of life that you've given me. Somebody else said this, just one life and it'll soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Boy, you know what? You know you're getting old when every once in a while I see people in Marion that I went to school with and I don't even recognize them. And I think, Lord have mercy. Man, they look rough. And I think, I went to school with them. Do I look that bad? And I think, who am I trying to kid, man? I mean, we're getting old. Have you done that lately? Have you seen some of these kids? I seen a boy the other day. Me and Corey, I took Corey to eat yesterday at a Chinese restaurant. And there was a little old skinny boy walked in there and had car keys. And honest to goodness, that boy didn't look like he was 11 years old. And he came driving. I remember when I thought 16, that you was old. And now some of these 16-year-olds look like little kids, don't they? You know what that is? Your life's leaving, buddy. We're moving on through, people. We're moving on through. We just celebrated our 4th anniversary in this church, this building, just a few weeks ago. 4 years. Just like, it seemed like when we got in here, time just went, voom, it's gone. 4 years. And you better thank the Lord. That's why I preach all the time. Go visit him. Go on bus route. Do so, because your life's going to be over with. If you wait till you got enough time, it'll never happen. If you wait till you get everything caught up, it'll never happen. You better use your time because it's real short. You better use your time because it's really, 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 really short. Only one life, it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. They said, I used to complain about having to buy shoes till I met a man that didn't have no feet. Amen? That's right, brother. That's right. Let's think about life here. Now, you're welcome to stop me and ask a question because this is a little bit different. This is not a doctrinal study. I'm just trying to get you to appreciate your life. appreciate your life. Every one of us have sunk into the slough of despond and started feeling sorry for ourselves. I have. And you got down and you just thought, Lord, my life's miserable. Why don't you just kill me? How many of you ever prayed some kind of dumb prayer like that? Raise your hand. All right, that most of us have. He just said, Lord, it'd just be better if I just died. Won't you just kill me? You know, the Lord never does answer that prayer. What if he did? What if you said, Lord, kill me? And pow, zaps you like that right there. But the Lord has mercy on us when we get like that. And I'm glad he does. You can go through a hard time. You can go through a discouraging time. And you think, Lord, I'm not getting nowhere. It seems like the more, about the time you get caught up and think you're going to have a little money, your car tires up. Or just about the time, you know, when you finally do get you, my house is finally paid for. I've been paying house payments for 30 years, and it's finally paid for. But guess what? It needs $10,000 worth of work done on it. By the time you get it paid for, you spend your money fixing it up, fixing the roof, fixing the walls, and fixing the holes in the under it, and the pipes, you know, underneath it, and rusting out and bust. One day, I couldn't understand where the hot water was going, and you could hear the pipe busted in the wall, and hot water running there, and got the floor all wet. And by the time you think you got everything took care of, you mark it down. You have obviously overlooked something. Because this world, in this world, you're going to have trouble and trouble and more trouble. But thank God you've got a house. A lot of people don't. Thank God you've got food. A lot of people don't. Thank God you have life. And there's a lot of people don't. Did you know this evening that there are millionaires in Hollywood that would give $5 million cash to feel as good as you feel right now, and they can't feel this good. Every doctor in the world can't make them feel that good. They're dying with AIDS. They're dying with cancer. They're dying with leukemia. They're dying with that. And they'd give $5 million cash. Me and you think, boy, I feel awful. Listen, if you felt good enough to get up and go to work today, and God's blessed you with a life, you ought to shout and praise God for it. Amen. I was listening to a CD on the way down here tonight, and that old song on there said, good morning, neighbor, it's a pretty day. Good morning, neighbor. That's a happy little old song. And old Wendy Bagwell's on there singing. And he's saying, well, all I got to wear is this old blue serge suit. And he's on it. It's a real old song, old-timey song. And I thought, you know what? There was a time when people were thankful for what they had to wear. Man didn't have but one suit, but he wore it on Sunday. And boy, he shined up in shoes, and he come to church and brought the family, and they appreciated what we've got. Nowadays, we've got two or three cars, we've got a carport, we've got a freezer full of meat, and we've got a closet full of clothes, and don't appreciate one thing God's done for us. Amen? We ought to appreciate our lives. We ought to appreciate our lives. Now, there's three kinds of life, folks. Three kinds. There's physical life, which all of us got. You move around. There's spiritual life, when you get saved. And then there's eternal life. And that's knowing the true God, eternal life. And I hope you've got all three of them. The length of life, as you know, before the flood, people lived 6, 7, 8, some even 900 years. When the flood came, the atmosphere changed. There was like a ozone layer or whatever around the world that protected them from the sun, which is what has a big part in aging us, and people live a long time. As soon as the flood came and went, the lifespan started getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Now, I've had a lot of people ask me, they said, Brother Danny, them people lived 800 years in the Bible. You believe that's really? Absolutely. 800 years. 900. Methuselah, 969. And that will go back to living that long during the millennium. People will be living that long again during the millennium. But you got to understand that things were different than they are now. Man, can you imagine what you could learn in 900 years? Them people are smart. People wonder how they built them stuff and how they built all them buildings and stuff. A man live 800 years going to know something about building, about trapping, about killing animals, about eating. Man live 800 years. You can learn a lot in 60 or 70 years. What if he's 480? Surely, them were some smart people back in those days. So, as time, by the time of Moses, the time we're down about like we are now, 100 years old, he was old. 120, Moses did. And then it got shorter. And now, according to Psalms, according to the book of Psalms 89, verse 47, said, remember how short my time is. And Psalm 90 and verse 10 said that God gives us 70. That's 70. And if perhaps 80, that's 80. Then God gives us 80 years. If a man lives 80 years now, he's lived a full life. And we have some that have. If you live 70 years, you're doing good. If you live 80, you're living on borrowed time. And of course, we have some in our church that's done past 70, done past 80. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How old are you, Brother Ray? 88? No, I'm just kidding. He's done past the limit and going strong. And so that's the limit of life. Now, the Bible describes your life to a few things, and let's talk about that just for a minute. This is what I want to get to. The Bible describes your life as a journey. As a journey. In Genesis 47, verse 9, Jacob told Pharaoh, my pilgrimages has lived here. He said, you are on a journey. The Bible compares your life to a trip. Have you ever drove to Florida? Have you ever drove to Georgia, to Atlanta, or to the coast, to North Carolina, the beach, North Carolina beach, South Carolina beach? You're on a journey. The first part of the journey, you start off real in a way. Then you get halfway, then you get three-fourths of the way, and then you finally get there. That's the way your life is. You start out when you're a little baby, and then you go through school, then you grow up, get married, raise a family, then you start getting older, and then you got, just like every generation behind us, we're going the same way. We're going the same way. Can you get that, y'all? Can you get that? We're going the same way that every generation behind us has already gone. And yet we keep making the same mistakes they made. It looks like we'd say, you know what? They messed up by not doing this. How many people you ever heard come down in the line and say, boy, I wish I'd have gave more. I wish I'd have witnessed more. I wish I'd have won some soul. Well, it's too late then. Let's do it now. Let's do it now. I mean, y'all pray for me. Tomorrow night I'll be preaching up in Virginia. And you know what I'd like to do? I've preached thousands of times. But I'd like to get up there and preach just like I was going. It's going to be the last time ever, because it might be. Amen? The old preacher used to tell his boys, he'd say, boys, make sure you're ready to die the day before you die. And they said, well, I don't know the day I'm going to die. And he said, well, get ready today, because it might be tomorrow. Get ready today, because he might die tomorrow. Make sure you're ready the day before you die. That's good advice. Make sure you're ready to die the day before you die. And you, since you don't know when that is, you better just get ready today. Said a little girl one time, you've heard me use this illustration. Said this little girl, the principal came. And this little girl, she's about 7 or 8 years old, about second or third grade or whatever. And she was, man, her desk was messy. There's papers everywhere and stuff in the floor. And the principal came in. He said, all right, boys and girls. He said, now listen, I'm going to come back one day this week and I'm going to look. And whoever's got the cleanest desk is going to get a prize. And boy, he walked out the door and that little girl says, I'm going to win that prize. And they said, not you. You got the messiest desk in the whole class. She said, oh yes, I will. She said, every morning as soon as I come in, I'm going to straighten up my books and I'm going to put my books underneath my desk and throw all my trash in the trash can and put my pencils and erasers up here and I'm going to be ready when he comes in the morning. And they said, well, what if he comes at noon? She said, I know what I'll do. Every day right before lunch, I'll straighten up my pencils and erasers and put my books under my desk and I'm going to throw my trash in a trash can and I'm going to throw my papers away and I'll be ready if he comes at noon. And they said, well, what if he comes in the evening? About 3 o'clock. And she said, I know what I'll do. Every day before 3 o'clock, I'm going to make sure my pencils and erasers are up here and I'm going to have my desk all clean and my books are underneath the desk and my papers in the trash can and I'll be ready. And when he comes at 3 o'clock, they said, yeah, but what if he comes
between there about 2 o'clock, and she stomped her foot and she said, "I'll just keep it clean." And I thought, you know what? That's the way we ought to be. You know, a lot of people would be in pretty good shape if the Lord come on Sunday night, wouldn't they? Or if they died on Sunday night. But man, if they died Saturday night, some of them be in trouble. Hey, man, if they died Friday night, you know what you got to do? You got to keep it clean, y'all. We have to keep it clean. Keep your sins confessed up. Confess your sins every night, every morning, and a lot of times in between. You say, "Well, I ask the Lord to forgive me every night, preacher." Well, if he comes at 5 o'clock in the evening, you better learn how to keep it clean. You ought to ask forgiveness all day long. "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for coveting that. Lord, forgive me for not witnessing. Lord, forgive me for not caring, not having a burden, not caring about bus kids, not caring about people, not praying. Lord, just all the time, just keep it clean." I used to work with this guy before I ever started pastoring a church, and we put down carpet. And he was real good to me because he let me... I was preaching some revivals and stuff, but I had to have a job because I didn't have no money. And he said, "Well, I'll let you work with me, Danny, and then when you go off to preach somewhere, I'll let you off." And I said, "Thank God." It worked out so good because a regular job, I couldn't just take off and go preach. And we'd be putting down carpet, and you get that carpet stretcher, and you kick that thing with your knees. Have you ever heard of anybody stretch carpet? Man, and the whole time he'd be working, he'd be going, I thought he was just mumbling to himself. And his wife said, "You know what he's doing? He's praying." So he prays all the time. He's a deacon in the church. And boy, I tell you, that made an impression on me. Because when I pray in my mind, he prayed all the time. People might think you're crazy, but they won't when you're dying. And you won't when you're dying. Just pray all the time. So that's the way to be ready to die. Your life is like a journey. You know what else your life is like? A dream. It's like a dream. You say, "Lord, mine's a nightmare, preacher." Well, sometimes it is. Psalm 73:20, it says, "As a dream when one awaketh." The Bible compares our life to a dream. You know, dreams are short. Have you ever dreamed, you think, "Boy, I dreamed all night last night"? You probably dreamed maybe 30 seconds. But it seems like a long time. They say, I don't know how they know that. But I've been asleep before and just slept just for like 10 minutes and had a big long dream. And that's the way your life is. Your life's like a dream. And one day you wake up. You think, "Oh my goodness, it was just a dream." You know the difference between when you wake up and realize it was a dream, how alert and everything you are. That's the way it'll be when you die. When you die, you're going to wake up and there's heaven and everything's clear and everything, right? And you're going to say, "Oh my goodness." It's just like waking up out of a dream, which is what we're in right now. So your life is like a journey. Life is like a dream. Not only that, life is like a shadow. In Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 12, it said, "Who knows what is good for a man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow." Your life's like a shadow. You know what a shadow is? Let me see if I can make one. There it is. There's my shadow right there. Your life's like that right there. Not this, that. That's how your life. You can't catch it. You can't grab it. Try to grab that shadow. It disappears. It goes somewhere. It slips away. It's gone fast. You can't catch it. That's the way your life is. Life is so uncertain. You know, we are so vain and proud. A guy comes on and he says, "Here's the great so-and-so, and he's a weightlifter, or he's a football player, and he signed a contract." Man, that guy's life's so uncertain, he could fall over dead right now. Amen? And a lot of people don't realize that. There's a guy went out one time, and he's an atheist. And they said it was come a thunderstorm. And he went out and showed them. He shook his fist up at God and cussed God and said, "If there's a God, strike me with lightning. I dare you to." And nothing didn't happen. Nothing happened, of course. God don't fool with people like that. And he come in and said, "See, there ain't no God. I just cussed him, dared him to strike me with lightning. Nothing happened." And then he got bit by a spider. And in a few hours, he was dead. And that shows you just, it don't take much to bump us off. It don't take, the biggest, baddest man in the world can get a little tiny germs, a little, you can't even see it, called HIV, and that virus infects his body and kill him. Kill. We're not as big and bad as we try to act like we are. We're fragile, brother. Our life's like a shadow. You can be here today and gone tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. If you had to die tonight, is everything all right with you and the Lord? Is everything all right with you and your family? Is everything all right with you and your mate? Is everything all right between you and everybody else? Listen, as far as I know, I've tried to make things right with everybody that I've offended. I've tried. Now, some people won't let you. If they won't let you, that's their problem. But I'm not going to go to sleep tonight saying, man, I need to apologize to one of my girls, or I need to make things right with my brothers. I want it to be right. I want it to be right. And I amen? You know why? Because life is short. Life is so short. It's so short. There's been many a man who thought he'd repent at the midnight hour and died at 11:55. There's been a many a person thought, well, boy, as soon as I get my bills caught up, as soon as I get this, I'm going to start doing this, and I'm going to start doing something for the Lord, and never did make it. There's been a many a person who said, man, I'm going to retire. I'm going to work about 8 more years, and I'm going to retire and get me an RV, and we're going to travel out and see the Grand Canyon lot. And right when he retired, had a heart attack and died and went to hell and never did get right with God. It happens all the time. It happens every day. It happens every day. I don't care how strong you are, how healthy you are, how good you eat, how much you work out, you could die tonight, and so could I. And that's what I will say. Life is precious, y'all. Life is precious. And you think every time you lay down, your heart can just stop beating just like that. Does anybody want to say something right quick? I'm done all the talking here tonight. If you do, you're more than welcome. Let me tell you what else it says. The Bible says your life's like a vapor. I've already mentioned this. It's like a vapor. It's like you can't tell much about water from steam. Get that? You can't tell much about water looking at steam. And you can't tell much about heaven by just looking at this life. This life compared to heaven is just like steam is different from water. Steam ain't much. You can't drink steam. You can't wash with steam. You can't do much with steam vapor. Your life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Now I'll tell you something else. It says, your life is a tale that's told. Like a story, Psalm 90 and verse 9. Our days are passed away, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. Tale that is told. That's interesting, isn't it? We spend our life like a tale that's told, like telling a tale. Have you ever went over to your grandma's house or grandpa, and you say, boy, I like to hear him tell stories. That's what your life is. Your life's like a story. Well, I remember little Danny when he was just a little baby, and then he grew up. And then he played guitar, and then he played basketball, and then he got saved and turned into a preacher. And then he's dead and gone now. I remember that was my life, a tale that is told. I'd like to leave some kind of a footprint here in this world. I'd like to think, well, hey, you know, I'd like people to know, say, well, he's here, he's gone, he was here, he's gone, but he left a mark for God. Because all you got is a tale that is told. You know, there's people that their whole life is just wasted. Their whole life. Grew up getting in trouble, get on drugs, go to prison, cost the taxpayers money, taxpayers have to feed them for 20 years, and then die and go to hell. Whole life, absolute waste. Don't do that, y'all. Don't do that. Good night, don't do that. Anybody want to say something right quick? I got a couple more and I'm about done. Anybody? All right, listen to this one. The Bible said your life's like water spilled on the ground. Like water spilled on the ground. 2 Samuel 14:14, we must needs die and are as water spilled on the ground. That's a good illustration. Water spilled on the ground. Did you know that when that water spilled on the ground, there's no way you can gather it up? I don't care what kind of rag you got. I don't care how good of sponge you get. It's impossible to get that water on out of the ground and back in that glass. It's impossible. And that's the way life is. Yesterday's gone, and it's impossible to get it back. Today's gone, just about, and it's impossible to relive it. Boy, that makes me so ashamed when I think of the time that I've wasted and the days that I just wasted living for myself and not for the Lord, or maybe even living in sin and not for the Lord. You think of all the time and money and stuff that we just waste, and it's a precious gift from the Lord. Think about your life as water spilt on the ground. There's people that are dying that give $1,000 just live one more day. $10,000. One more day and don't have it. So take my advice, friend. Take my advice. You better enjoy your life while you can. You're not going to be reincarnated. You're not going to come back and try it again. This is the first and only time you're going to be here till we come back with the Lord one day. I know a lot of people believe that. I know people believe, well, in my first life I was this, and in my second life I was that. And I remember, have you ever done this? Have you ever been driving down the road somewhere in the middle of Georgia or something, and you see this big old house up on the hill, and it's got a white fence around it, and all of a sudden this weird feeling comes over, and you think, I've been here before. I know I've been here. But you know you hadn't been there? And then the devil says, that's where you used to live in your past life. And people believe that. They think, oh, that's why I like horses so good. I used to live right there and rode horses. Wonder what happened to me. You know, you're starting to get weird when you start thinking like that.
Several years ago, I went on a bus trip taking youngins to a summer camp up in Warren, Minnesota. Went around the left side of the Great Lakes and around the hills up there. And I say that, and it's like I've been there before.
Yeah.
And that was surreal. I come home last all my family said ever took me there. That was so real.
You think, let me ask y'all something. It's off subject. You believe you dreamed that? I'll tell you what I think it is. We know according to the Bible you didn't used to live there in your last life. This is the only time you've been here. This is it. It is appointed a man once to die. After this, the judgment. What do you think that is? Anybody know? I'll tell you what I think. I've seen stuff before and I thought, I dreamed this. I know I dreamed this, but I don't know if I dreamed it or not. I think, here's what I think, I might be wrong. I think your mind sort of jumps ahead of yourself a little bit, and it thinks it, and then you see it and think it again, and you think, but it thought it like 2 seconds before that. Does that make sense? You thought, but you didn't process it, and then when you saw it, you think, well, I've been here before, yeah, like 2 seconds ago. But that's what I think, but I don't know about that. Does anybody want to help me on that?
Oh, no, it makes you feel weird.
It does. Possible. Yeah. Could be. Could be the devil just trying to get you to believe that you're a spiritual. Yeah. 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 You gotta watch that kind of junk like that, man. That's heresy. Well, yeah, but now God can show you a dream. God can give you a dream. Yeah. Mom always said this. Did y'all say? Mom always said, that's the end of my dream. That's the end of my dream. I mean, she'd dream like, she always said if a bird flew in the house, it meant somebody's going to die or something. And then somebody died, sure enough, that's the end of my dream. I knew it. Now, I believe that's just superstition. Superstitious. But the bird does represent a spirit in the Bible.
And what about, like they say, life comes dead. I have a buddy at work, his uncle just passed away, and his wife had a dream where she was going to have another baby. And come find out she was pregnant, and his uncle died like a couple days later. Whenever my son was born, Megan's daddy passed away after we found out she was going to have another.
I don't know. I don't know. I would say it's just coincidence. That's just the way it works out. But it, there might be something to that sometime. Yeah. How do they know that? How do they know that? Well, they can monitor your brain activity and tell if you're dreaming. I don't know about that. How do they know that? So? That don't mean you're dreaming? How do they know that? Yeah. It's possible. But how could you dream about a place you ain't never been before? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I got a thing here in my Bible. I'm gonna preach it here one of these days. I don't know if I can find it, but I got a whole book on what dreams mean. Different dreams. If you dream about this, it means that. If you dream about this, it means that. And I'll give it to y'all one of these days. But I got all kinds of. I got the dream book saying, and then I got my interpretation. Like if you dream about water dripping or something, that means you just wet the bed. Stuff like that.
My grandma always said that she heard death bells.
Yeah.
Burning and there would always be three people that died. And most of the time there was.
Yeah.
Three people.
In her ear, she called them death bells.
Oh my goodness.
I've heard death bells.
You've heard death bells? Well,
it's just a ringing in your ear, and it all takes your ear away. And every time I get one, I hear somebody die.
I ain't never had that. That I know of.
But I work in a nursing home, and it comes to three. Every time somebody dies, three people
always die. Is that
right? Yeah, I've heard that too. Every time.
I'd be getting out of there if somebody died. Huh? Move me to another one. That's weird, isn't it? You know, a lot of times you'll have a man and wife that's, you know, been married a long time, like 50 years or something, and when one dies within a year, the other will die. That happens all the time. That really happens a lot. Huh? I guess. That's possible. They just give up or whatever. That's probably true. Keep moving. That's right. You got to keep moving. All right, we're going to stop right there. But just listen.